Please turn to Psalm chapter 31. Psalm chapter 31. Psalm chapter 31 is a very interesting psalm because it is quoted by Jesus on the cross. It's quoted by Stephen as he was stoned to death. A verse from Psalm 31 is quoted four times by Jeremiah. It's also quoted by Jonah when he is the belly of the great fish. And all four instances, what do they have in common? Well, those four instances, that they are in great distress and terrible trouble, and each one is expressing their dependence on God. David says in Psalm 31, verse 14 through 15, "As for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say you are my God. My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me." Psalm 31 is a psalm of trust, and it's also a lament because of the problems that he is facing. This may have been during David's flight from King Saul. In verse 4, he talks about a net that was secretly laid for him, which in 1 Samuel 19, Saul's men secretly surrounded the house to capture David. And then he talks about being in a besieged city in verse 21. And in 1 Samuel 23, the men of Keilah were going to give David up to Saul, but David escaped. So very well may have been during this approximate 10-year period of time when David was on the run from Saul. So what this is David's declaration of supreme dependence upon God. And this Wednesday, July 4th, will be the 236th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence of the United States, where we declared our independence from Great Britain, though it was also a declaration of dependence upon God. Psalm 31 is David's declaration of dependence. And in the background of this lesson, this is a picture that was painted in 1848. Of the prayer of Jacob Duché, who opened the session of the Continental Congress in 1774 with scripture reading and a prayer. John Adams, who was the second president of the United States, in his letter to Abigail Adams said, "Mr. Duché appeared and read the 35th Psalm. I never saw a greater effect upon an audience." And that is because that they thought or had reports that the British were bombing Boston at that time with a naval bombardment. It seemed as if heaven had ordained that psalm to be read on that morning. Mr. Duché struck out into an extemporary prayer which filled the heart of every man present. "I must confess I have never heard a better prayer. With such fervor, with such earnestness, and in language so elegant and sublime for America and for the Congress." It had an excellent effect. And what was this prayer? "O Lord, our Heavenly Father, high and mighty King of kings and Lord of lords, who from thy throne beholds all the dwellers on earth and reigns with supreme power over all the kingdoms and governments, look down in mercy on these American states who have fled to thee from the rod of the oppressor and have thrown themselves on thy gracious protection, desiring to be henceforth dependent only on thee. To thee they have appealed for the righteousness of their cause. To thee do they now look up for that support which thou alone can give. Take them, Heavenly Father, under thy nurturing care. Give them wisdom and counsel. Be thou present, O God of wisdom, and direct the counsels of this honorable assembly. Crown them with everlasting glory in the world to come. All this we ask in the name and merits of Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Savior." And the point is, at the beginning of our nation, there was an express dependence upon everything that we do, and even the foundations of our government and of our efforts must be totally dependent upon God, or they would fail. In the Declaration of the Independence, notice that God was mentioned four times in the Declaration of Independence in 1776, which is the founding document of our country. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. And Thomas Jefferson said that liberty is a gift of God. We therefore, the representatives of the United States of America and General Congress assembled, appealing to the Supreme Judge of the world for the rectitude of our intentions. They were depending ultimately upon God to vindicate the rightness of their cause. For the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. George Washington, in his inaugural address in 1789, said, "No people can be bound to acknowledge and adore the invisible hand which conducts the affairs of men more than the people of the United States. Every step by which they have advanced to the character of an independent nation seems to have been distinguished by some token of providential agency." To the left is a picture that is in the U.S. Capitol building now. It is a picture of George Washington in prayer. And it says, it's a quotation from the psalm of, "I put my trust in thee." President Washington's first official act was a prayer to God to bless America. So when America declared independence from the political bonds of Great Britain, it also was a declaration of that we should be dependent upon God, and we should affirm that publicly. The national motto of the United States is "In God We Trust," by an act of Congress that was made official in 1956, and it's been reaffirmed thereafter. And what is interesting in this picture here, this nation under God, in the Pledge of Allegiance, it says we are one nation under God. And that is on your dollar bill and your billfold, and that is a pyramid. And above the pyramid is an eye. That is the all-seeing eye of God. The pyramid stands for the building of the nation, and in Latin is annuit coeptus, which means He, God, has favored our undertaking. So at the very beginning of our country, there was a clear affirmation that even though we are a secular government, the idea that it's not a theocracy, that you're not legislated to believe or practice a certain thing, but that we should acknowledge that God is God, and that all that we have and that all that we do is dependent upon His grace and His mercy, and that God holds us accountable in the affairs of men. Now, I want you to turn back to Psalm 31, and we're just going to read through for a few minutes David's declaration of dependence upon God. And in our nation, we want to be salt and light and be a good influence so that God will bless our country, so that we'll have the freedom of religion, and also that we might be protected from God's judgment that comes upon a nation that forgets God and becomes wicked and corrupt. We read in Psalm 31, verses 1 through 8, "In You, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be ashamed. In Your righteousness, deliver me. Incline Your ear to me. Rescue me quickly. Be to me a rock of strength, a stronghold to save me. For You are my rock and my fortress. For Your name's sake, You will lead me and guide me. You will pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me. For You are my strength. Into Your hand I commit my spirit." Now that's the statement Jesus said on the cross. Also, Edersheim says that is something that Jewish parents would teach their children at night before they would go to sleep. "For You have ransomed me, O Lord God of truth. I hate those who regard vain idols, but I trust in the Lord, and I will rejoice and be glad in Your loving kindness, because You have seen my affliction. You have known the troubles of my soul. And You have not given me over to the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a large place." The idea of liberty or freedom comes from God. David understood that God was his refuge and his rock. And there's a picture of En Gedi, which is east of Jerusalem by the Red Sea, where David hid a good part of the time from Saul. And there you see the rocky crags where David took refuge in God as his hiding place. Do we see God as our sure foundation and rock from life's troubles? We sing in the song, "When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and stay." Whereas there's a song that we sing, "I need Thee every hour." Now that's a good song to sing during the week, to worship God during the week. I need Thee every hour. We depend upon God for everything, and He depends upon us for nothing. And someone has said, the more that we depend on God, the more dependable we find Him to be. So independent of life's ups and downs, if we are dependent upon God, we are not at the mercy of circumstance. If we learn like David to declare our dependence upon God. Next, let's read verses 9 through 13. This is David's lament. "Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am in distress. My eye is wasted away from grief, my soul and my body also. My life is spent with sorrow and my years with sighing. My strength has failed because of my iniquity, and my body is wasted away. Because of all my adversaries, I have become a reproach, especially to my neighbors, and an object of dread to my acquaintances. Those who see me in the street flee from me, and I am forgotten as a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel that is utterly useless. For I have heard the slander of many, terror on every side." That's a quotation Jeremiah referenced about four times in the book of Jeremiah. "While they took counsel together against me, they schemed to take my life away." One of the good things about the Psalms is that we can be honest about our sorrow and about our pain and about our distress. David says, "I'm forgotten." That would describe his flight from Saul. "I'm like a broken vessel." That is, I feel totally without strength, hopeless, worthless. You would think that he is as low as a person could get. But in all this, he says, "Be gracious to me, O Lord." So in his depression, and he's clinically depressed here, he is as low as a person can get. He turns to God. And he knows that he feels like he is forgotten, but really he knows that he's not, that God is there and God can help him. One of the things that I encourage people when people are working through depression, I encourage them to become experts in the laments in the book of Psalms. That's the idea that you can take control and you can become familiar with those who face depression just like you do, just like we all do. And see how they had help from God in their dependence and learning how to work through that. And one of the things that David does in verse 10, he says, my strength has failed because of my iniquity. Now, some of this he was unfairly persecuted, but some of this he says, I have not conducted myself the way you want me to. In other words, taking personal responsibility. When you look at David's flight from Saul in 1 Samuel 19 through 31, David did some things that were either questionable or just wrong. His faith was not perfect, but he took responsibility for that. And so in spite of our problems, we can always be honest to God and say, this is what has happened to me, this is how I feel. It's not a lack of faith to be honest with God. God wants us to lay our burdens at His feet, realizing that there is a solution with God. And David doesn't turn away from God, but he turns to God. And then we see that, again, he has this perspective that he's going to trust in the Lord. Even though sometimes he feels rotten, he's going to trust in the Lord. Verse 14 and following. "But as for me," that is, despite how bad things are and how low I feel, "I trust in you, O Lord." I say, you are my God. It's important to resolve to a firm faith and trust in the Lord. "My times are in your hands," verse 15. "Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Make your face to shine upon your servant. Save me in your loving kindness. Let me not be put to shame, O Lord, for I call upon you. Let the wicked be put to shame. Let them be silent in Sheol. Let the lying lips be mute, which speak arrogantly against the righteous with pride and contempt. I think any of us can learn to have more faith. I don't think any of us can say, you know, I really have got too much faith. I'm going to have to tone it down. The idea of David wants to affirm to have more faith in God. So he keeps working on his attitude. That is something that we all can work on, is our attitude of faith. And in verse 17, he appeals to God to intervene, that God can protect him, and in fact, God can turn away the attacks of the unjust and the wicked. And so how do we build this attitude? We build this attitude not by just focusing on our toxic thoughts of this mental sludge. We dwell on the problems of life. But it's when we turn the focus of our mind to God, who is high and holy, who never fails, who can always be depended upon to help us in our time of need. And so in studying the Bible, when we learn about the character of God, we lift our minds above the shadows of this earth into the light of His presence. Through the ups and downs of life, the circumstances of life change, but God does not change. And then finally, in verse 19 through 24, he concludes with praise to the Lord. It is always appropriate to praise the Lord. How great is your goodness, which you have stored up for those who fear you, which you have wrought for those who take refuge in you before the sons of men. You hide them in the secret place of your presence from the conspiracies of man. You keep them secretly in the shelter from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he has made marvelous his loving kindness to me in a besieged city. As for me, I said in my alarm or panic, I am cut off before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried to you. Oh, love the Lord, all you his godly ones. The Lord preserves the faithful and fully recompenses the proud doer. Be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. What a great lesson for all of us, that we are not a victim of circumstance, we are not a pawn of fate, but we can choose to keep God first by affirming we are going to be ever more dependent upon God, and that when we rely fully upon God, we learn to fully trust Him and find Him fully dependable. The essence of temptation is to live independent from God. So when we make our Declaration of Independence, we're going to say there's nothing in this vain world that is worth betraying God. Every conversion is a story of a blessed defeat. When I learn that the most important thing in the world is not me, but having a right relationship with God. And so we'll extend to you the invitation, if you want to accept God through Jesus Christ as revealed in the New Testament as the Son of God, put Him on in baptism by penitent faith, confessing that He's Lord. We ask you to come while we stand and sing.